Welcome to Training Gang Guys, episode number 17. I'm John DiPaolo, and this is my buddy Johnny Boy.
You know what?
Tell me.
Actually going to pause there. It is episode 18. You're right.
Is it?
Yeah, we've come this far.
I thought it was 18 or 17.
You thought it was 18 originally. I said it was 17, then you switched it, but...
You lied to me.
I lied to you. We've come this far. This has been fantastic, man. Having you talking about this kind of stuff.
I could do this all day, man.
Me too.
I ain't doing it on camera, I'm probably doing it in the gym anyway, because people do ask me questions.
Well, people do ask you a lot of questions, and that's why a lot of this came to fruition, because we had these conversations relentlessly, you know, every night. And it was a lot of fun. I learned so much information from you. And then just having you come out here and doing this, it's come to fruition.
Yeah. I waited for it. It's here and I'm happy, but I want to keep it going.
Well, one thing that's going to keep you going is I want to talk about the appeal of health as what we have in society and how it relates to where people's minds go and what is presented to us. For instance, you have a lot of different ads out there and stuff that promotes anti-health, but not enough stuff that promotes for health.
With the intention of promoting for health, even?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
I feel like it just deters people away from it. Why is that?
Scams. It's happening as we speak. It always happens.
How does that make you feel?
Enraged. It's why I'm here. It's like podcasts who don't do the right thing. I'm not saying they all do that, but some people just don't elaborate, I feel. It's like taking a $20 word and they mince it into a $60 word. But what's the science behind it?
Yeah, I feel a lot of this stuff is, even with these beer commercials, like I mentioned once briefly, where you have the runners that are running and they're extremely tired and look, lo and behold, you've done a great workout. Here's your beer.
Yeah.
How does that even promote health?
Those are the same people who might say to you, hey man, live a little. And they might put a puddle of mud in front of your face. They might tell you, hey man, it's just a little oil. It's a little lard. So you get a lard ass overnight. Go do some more squats. You probably earned it. No, man, no. You are what you eat. What you put in your body is what's going to manifest in its performance.
It's about those receptors too, the reward receptors that happen in your brain where it says, oh, I'm getting a reward now for eating like a McDonald's cheeseburger or something like that. And incorporating that into a routine, into a diet. I feel like what I'm saying is that society has put so much of a high dollar value on our health. And such a low dollar value on what people say, hey, live a little, eat this.
Well, you could press on with that. You're never going to do away with McDonald's. That depends on a person and their taste buds. But I will say this. I'm not saying don't be human. Don't go and have a cheat meal. Have as many as you want, but be reasonable. What did I say last time? I have bacon, egg, and cheese in the morning, right?
Yeah, that was a great recipe.
Sounds like a deli thing. Or...
Very Northeast.
A sandwich place. Northeast, there you go. But I use Ezekiel bread. I use farm-raised eggs. I use vegan cheese. So I improvise. Just be reasonable about it. If you're going to have McDonald's and you eat healthy all the time, how bad do people feel after that?
I know for myself, I feel, and I've done it before, I feel groggy. It feels like clumped up crap stuck in my chest. Like I can't get rid of until it eventually.
It's because it is stuck. It is that. It's exactly what you just said. Your body doesn't know what's going inside it. It can't break it down. It's not from the ground. It's got no enzymes. It's all man-made chemicals. And they're making billions of friggin' dollars doing this.
Why has America put so much emphasis on if it's something organic, it's now going to be super expensive? And other countries, it just feels as if it's minimized. Maybe it's the area that we live in, generally in big cities, where you're looking at something organic, which is natural, hasn't been raised without hormones, grass-fed beef, this kind of stuff.
Not tampered with.
Yeah, it's not tampered with. It ends up being so freaking expensive compared to a normal piece of beef that you don't know what's inside.
That's America for you. It's not really that expensive.
I don't know why sometimes it's easy to be swayed and deterred from having a bad diet because of that. It's easy to be swayed from these different advertisements and feel as if you're eating something that's going to be beneficial for you when really it's not.
Well, I'm more of a black and white guy. I don't believe in gray. We were speaking about that earlier.
Yeah.
That's like an actor. But when it comes to stuff like this, you have to find the median. You do. You got to find a place in the middle.
And now comparing
that. If it's too expensive.
Yeah.
And you feel deterred. Maybe I should have McDonald's. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you want a burger, just get some quality meat. Maybe get some quality bread. Work around it.
Yeah, and a lot of those things that you were saying as far as recipes, and you get the products yourself and you build your own, that's going to be a healthier version of that.
I
to satisfy that craving.
Well, I'm minimizing the sin.
Taking the sin right out of it.
I'm minimizing it, man. I'm doing the best I can. I make sure that when I go to the gym, I'm working optimally. Because there's sometimes, I will say this, I don't do well with gluten. So if I go out and I live a little and I have a sandwich, my eyes start tearing. My bones start hurting. My stomach is bloated. The couch sounds so good. The bed sounds even better. Netflix sounds great. I don't want to go to the gym. Body feels like, it feels paralyzed.
Pain,
yeah. Bones start hurting. So I have to be more, I got to use more assortments.
I'm the same way with dairy, where I have to be, I'm very sensitive to it.
What happens to you when you do dairy?
I get the same way. I feel very clumped, very clustered. I don't feel good. I feel like I'm dragging an extra 10 pounds on my body.
Sucks, yeah.
And I have to be aware of it. So I've switched a long time ago to almond milk and cashew milk and oat milk. I really like a lot because it's more hefty in carbs.
Yeah.
And I feel way, way better. But it's weird. When I go to Europe and I travel there and I eat the cheese there, it's completely different. I don't feel that way. Why is that? I question it.
Authentic materials.
It's all natural. It's not, nothing is synthesized.
My brother came back from Italy. He brought olive oil. I had some olive oil and I noticed a difference.
Yeah.
Nothing major. I went to the gym. I just felt better. I felt better. More energy.
I feel like all this pumping of the drugs and stuff inside our food, I take offense to it because of what I put in my body.
Oh, you're talking about the hormones?
Hormones. It just goes full circle with this.
Yeah.
You know, what you put in your body is what you're going to look like. And especially for athletes, I feel the athletes know this firsthand because number one, they have professionals that are helping them through this. And they're saying, you got to eat this and this and this and this because it's going to be better for you.
Yeah.
You hear all these random diets that go around that could be beneficial, could not be beneficial. I once heard of a McDonald's diet once.
How was that?
It was about... I'm going to laugh now because of how...
Sounds like a life sentence.
Yeah, what is it? It's absurd. But as far as...
It's one word.
You eating, it doesn't matter what you eat because if you're going to lose weight, it doesn't matter if you have McDonald's every day because you're trying to lower your caloric intake. So I'm going to give you an exercise and a routine anyways that's going to lower your caloric intake. So it doesn't matter what you're going to be putting in your body. Let's just eat McDonald's every day. I'm still going to go to the gym and work that off. That's going to be great for me, isn't it?
So they're going to McDonald's and they're thinking they're going to get a low caloric intake meal. You're biting into the wrong animal, my friend. Well, there's a lot of calories in there.
Exactly. And plus they feel as if they're eating these high caloric meals and I'm just going to do the extra work in the gym anyway to reduce all that. I can eat whatever I want every day.
That'll take 3 days.
Why do you think that?
Because your body's looking at something so gross and disgusting, trying to understand it and go, what the hell is going through my body? And you either... excreted through the bowl. Some people vomit. Some people just walk around bloated all day long and they get parasites and tapeworms. And those things fucking affect your depression if you have depression.
Can I ask a question?
Can I ask two questions?
I'll ask one and I'll think of the other one.
Go ahead.
Why are all these absurd things going around about what to put in your body is the correct thing? And it sounds so, to people that know what they're talking about and have listened to and understood it, it just sounds so out there and crazy. Why would someone just want to do it? Is it the lack of research? Is it laziness? Or what is it?
It's multifaceted. Ignorance, ego, misinformed. Basically it. Greed, money, capitalism.
I feel like
you think McDonald's is doing a good thing by your fellow man, feeding them Big Macs?
No,
they're capitalizing on that.
And even me, I was a culprit of it as a kid. Even
I think McDonald's. We had parents, right? And they didn't know any better. It's not their fault. Well, in part it is, but you learned.
How would you help construct that for someone? If you were going to tell them, okay, you're still young, you want to live a little, quote unquote, but you also want to make sure you're putting the good things in your body without being too extreme.
Well, I know at that age, because I was once that age, no matter what happens, what you eat, you're going to burn it off. Because of those hormones, your body takes to them differently when you're younger. I would just make sure they're active. Because I have seen people 14, 15, 16, 17 eat foods like that and not be that active. And they just sit there. They look a lot older. They got extra skin hanging from their chin. They're bloated. They look tired. Some look like they never slept. Yeah. Once you start applying movement, that's the thing. Movement. The body was meant to move. When you move, your body could process things quicker and easier. Does that make sense to you?
That does make sense, because we're talking
basic
about
stuff.
We're talking about promoting even 30 minutes a day of going out there and exercising, or 30 minutes a day of movement, period.
You start with 15 too.
Most definitely. I want to shift a little bit now to comparing how athletes are to the generic public and why they need to have more, obviously, calories and carbs and value as far as intaking food. But it seems like they already know what to eat and how to correctly eat it. And then people look at those as an emulation by saying, I'm going to mimic exactly that and put that in my body.
Boy.
And it's the go-to end-all be-all because so-and-so is a athlete that is doing this. And it's worked for him. Why doesn't it work for me?
Inspiration will make us do crazy things. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it sure does.
You got to understand, an athlete is different. They're built different. You're an athlete, right?
Yeah.
What happens when you don't eat enough after this? You're becoming mentally drained, believe it or not. Talking to an audience, it doesn't mean you don't want to talk to them. We live to talk to you. That's what we do. But if you're not, your brain, your muscles, as big as you are, right? As big as you are, your body requires nutrients to be who you are, to be at this level.
I remember even yesterday we went out for a steak, right?
Yeah.
And we had that, and immensely afterwards, I felt immensely better.
I felt immensely tired. I'm older though. It's normal.
Yeah. Not too old.
My point is, you got to look at these athletes and the way their bodies are built. They need more macronutrients. They need extra macronutrients. Okay. So you can't look at someone and go, wow, I want to be built like that. Let me Google what he eats. It's not going to work for you. It's so simple. This is basic knowledge. It's individualistic. The guy's an athlete. This is what he does. He operates on a diesel engine, so he needs diesel fuel. You can get that, but you got to work towards that. You got to build the whole base and the foundation the way he did. And then maybe one day that diet could resonate with you.
Diets are so funny because they're built off of things and ideas that you pick apart from either magazines or athletes or something you've heard around the bush.
Yeah.
And if people just understood what you're putting in your body first that you react positively to, is probably a good start for you.
Say that last part.
It's a good start for when you know your body and you're getting to understand that first rather than picking apart a different diet plan and then ingesting all that food.
Absolutely, getting to know your body.
Because you know what your body's going to react to. Maybe you are, I don't know, it's going to, one of these foods is going to make you sluggish. And you won't know it, but you're going to do it anyway because you have taken now a diet that's set from someone else. Here's a generic diet guy. Go lose some weight.
No, don't do that. But if someone that you trust or you're inspired by gives you a diet, take bits and pieces from it. See how you react to it. If you're tired, maybe it's just your body adapting. Try it again a second day. If you're still feeling like that, pull it out of your diet. It's very basic. You're just skimming the surface like that.
In your field, have you noticed people coming up to, by hearing, overhearing, or by other trainers telling you that, hey, I've had someone so-and-so come up and I've given him this diet, and you kind of look at it and you just shake your head after knowing what evaluation they've done with this person?
I try so hard not to do it, but I'm cringing underneath my hat.
What makes you cringe?
Because it's like a scripted thing, man. People really stick to the friggin' script. Oh, could you make me a diet? Let me delve into my brain what I know that's healthy. Yeah, you're gonna have an avocado in the morning. You don't know the woman's weight. You don't know the man's weight. You don't know their what they do, how active they are.
See, that frustrates me when that happens.
Listen.
It's like, let me just give you this because I know it's good, it's healthy to eat, but I don't know anything about you yet.
That's what they mean by ignorance is bliss, but we have control to fix that. We don't have to be that way. Some people just choose to do it. Some people are scared to do it and they're intimidated. So whatever little things they take and they hear from someone, they apply them as gold, as gospel truth. And they're scared to deviate from that too.
Well, what about the extreme side of that, where they're so hell-bent on eating either all organic, and it has to be that way, or they are eating all garbage type food, but they don't really know it, but they think it's working because they either have a really fast metabolism, they'll be okay. They can eat a pie a day and they'll be fine, pizza pie.
Does this person own a mirror?
That's what I'm saying.
So what do I think about that?
Yeah.
Highly delusional. Change the mirror.
It's always about what you look at in the mirror that's going to make you do. That's a thing, that's an old adage that goes back even to bodybuilding, where it's about what you look like in the mirror. It's great advice because it's not about what you're going to eat all the time. It's about how that food's reacting and what it's doing to you.
But see, now I have a visual, what you just said. It's a visual. I got a person. There's no specific age, just a person.
Yeah.
Who's thinking they have to eat this way, and they're training every day, and there's nothing good to reap from it. They're not looking better, correct? Is that where you're going with this? Is there ever a time you go into the bathroom, you take a shower, do you see progress? You know, seeing is believing. Actions over words, right? That just shows me an ignorant person, or a person who's not driven. Maybe we're going down the road psychological now.
Unwilling to try, unwilling to hear advice.
I'm thinking more like a person who goes to the gym, goes on the treadmill, and you see him doing this, just typing and typing and typing, typing. And when they go home, I went to the gym today. It sounds like this person.
Right. I've known, I've heard this from you where there's just deviating a bit, is that you've seen where you're waiting for a machine and the person is doing that.
Ugh.
And they just sit there. And I can already see it cringing on you, but you just sit there waiting and you're being very polite about it. But in between each set, they're just still doing something on their phone. And it's taking about 20 minutes now on the same machine.
You know why you see the cringe?
I'm asking why.
Because someone did this 4 days ago and they have yet to leave the scene of the crime in my brain. I still see that face.
I felt like that was the case.
But how do I feel about that? I feel like if you don't have an ability to be instinctive, and say, I'm doing upper body today, and you were heart set on going to the flat bench or the incline bench, and someone's there, no problem. Take it to the ground. Do some push-ups. Go do some dumbbell flies. Do a pec deck. Do something. Come back to that movement. If they're still doing that, demand that you want to work in with them. Watch how quick they fly away.
Do you think that what you said, instinct, can also play a part in your nutrition too? Where you're instinctually eating, you know that, for instance, for myself, you have a little bit of experience. We're like, okay, I feel a little bit deficient in, let's say, something like greens today, okay, like I haven't had. I'm going to put this in my body because it happens to me often where I say, I know my diet is structured a certain way where I have, let's say, a grilled chicken or something at night with a salad, but my body craves and needs something else. And I say to myself, why? And you always point it back to, well, that's an instinct because your body's deficient in something. Let's break down where your diet has happened today. Oh, cool. You're deficient in this. You need to have that. And usually when I do have it, for instance, it was fats one day. I had some peanut butter mixed it in with a shake and I felt better.
Well, why don't we look at an example of what he's talking about? One day I seen John after his workout and instead of eating food, he was eating chocolate one day. So we eating chocolate for? Oh no, it's something to tie me until we get to the restaurant, eat some food. So do you know when people go to chocolate, and this happens to a lot of women on their period, believe it or not, they go for chocolate. People don't know why. When they bleed, they lose minerals. Same thing with you. If you're lacking in a certain mineral, not by blood out, you're a man, right? If you're lacking in greens, high in magnesium, or some nuts, pumpkin seeds. They're high in magnesium.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think here now. I'm on the spot. Hemp seeds, pumpkin seeds. If you don't have that high in your body, you might go study in potato chips. They're salty. They link most salty chips or pretzels to a mineral deficiency, usually magnesium.
That's so interesting to
me. It's crazy, yeah.
Well, because I've always really liked kettle cooked specifically potato chips, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I was deficient in magnesium for that day.
Exactly that. It could have been iodized salt too.
That's super interesting.
How about the people who love to drink soda? Where's that coming from?
A lot of my good friends do that. And I'm always questioning why, even in the morning for like breakfast, I see a soda.
Well, let's answer why. Does the body say, can I please have some Coca-Cola syrup? Please. Would it say that? Would it understand what that is?
I think to an extent, it might be a habit. Yeah.
It's corn syrup. The body doesn't know what that is. That's a trans fat. That's a sign of a water deficiency. My friend, you're dehydrated.
That's super interesting. It's all these little tips that super I'm picking true. Up off of how you break down certain things, even with diet, and how it just goes back to being with a societal structure of eating a certain way and feeling a certain way.
Yeah, man, my skin gets dry a lot. And that's when I know I don't have enough fat in my diet. All I do is maybe I'll sip a little olive oil. I might have half an avocado. My skin is smooth 2 days later. It's so weird. Or I could be dehydrated too.
Yeah, because you were telling me that on some nights too when we would talk. You said, well, I'm looking at this. I say to myself, hey, John, let me just try this. Okay, it's a little bit of olive oil. Okay, it's still not enough. I still feel a certain way. I'm still want something else that I'm craving. Why is that? Okay, maybe I'm deficient in a different type of fat. Let me have a little avocado. Yep, that did the trick. I don't feel hungry anymore with that. I'm a craving for that.
They're not addressing the situation. They're just honoring whatever it is that they have, the feeling they have. I want something sweet. They're honoring the craving. I want something salty. Where's that coming from, though?
Where does it come from?
Deficiency in a mineral. You got it leads right back to saying before, you got to get to know your body.
How would you know specifically mineral-wise what would be deficient in you? But you know something's awry. You know something's off.
Okay, so if I'm going for a lot of chips, do I know it's low magnesium? Possibly. I'm not running off of blood work. So I might go have some coconut water. Why? It's got three different minerals in there. It's got magnesium. It's got sodium. It's got potassium. So if I can't kill it at one avenue, I'll involve all three factors. If there's still a problem, we'll still keep investigating. You got to get to know your body. But the same token, say, how do I feel after that? Did you feel better? It must have been one of those three minerals. Rinse and repeat.
Picking your brain with this is fascinating for me because I'm taking little notes as you're talking and I'm retaining parts of it. And then I retain all of it when I'm home and I really see the visual of everything. And when I incorporate these things, it's such valuable knowledge for me personally, you know, and I'm hoping for the audience, but it's really knowledgeable for me because I go off and I go and put it into practice. And I know that little tiny secret, even after a workout, said, John,
major
first thing you should be having is what? I go, well, I go for the protein shake. We're like, yeah, you're like all these other idiots.
Minerals.
I replace the minerals first now. And immediately I start to see changes. Yeah. I'm not going to say right on the spot, but within that week, I start to see the dramatic shift.
What is it that you see?
I see
my versus feel.
Well, immediately I do feel that my body is being replaced right. with everything I just expelled in the gym.
Correct.
And then when I have the shake afterwards, it's a compliment. It satiates my appetite now and also gives me my calories, my fats, my proteins that I need. But before, when I was just doing the shake, I was drinking it and I felt I was replacing whatever I had lost. But actually, it was those minerals that creep up during the day that now I'm hungry for something else. I want this instead. I have a craving for that instead.
You could also kill.
That used to happen.
Yeah, you could also kill two birds with one stone for those who are listening to this. You could have that protein shake mixed with coconut water too.
I do that religiously now. It's fantastic.
Doesn't taste the greatest.
No, it's definitely a learning curve.
Yeah. But you're in this for the results, right?
Definitely.
You could always have pizza on Saturday.
Just like me, I love my pizza.
That's my cheat meal. I usually have a slice of pizza. And I know not to go to two because my body can't break down all the dairy in that, but I'll have one.
But you said the slice must be what? Because then you'll go another one if it's not that.
Say that again.
You said the slice has to be a certain way or else you'll have to go another one.
Toasted and burnt. I don't like pizza that burns the palate of my mouth. That's death. That's torture. I feel it for fucking 3 days too.
I hate it when the roof of your mouth gets burned.
And I still talk. What does that say?
Well, coming back full circle with all this, with ads and just the appeal of health and society, and then converting that into the bodybuilding world and how that has gone astray with as far as eating. I've heard all these different types of kooky things that a lot of people in bodybuilding have eaten or done to themselves. But if they just followed a regimen on what works for them, I think they'd be better off. For myself, when I was backstage, I remember eating a pizza because I knew that I needed to replace a certain amount of fats in order to give myself a window that I knew would expire after, but a window of pushing in all the fats that I needed into my body.
How did you know that?
Honestly, it was trial and error. I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Was it trial or error?
This was a trial that was successful. Yeah, it was successful.
Okay, really?
And I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I just saw the people doing it and I did it.
So what'd you learn about that?
What I learned is that I need to understand my own body first, because what I would have shifted is I would have eaten off my diet a couple of days before that, but I would have injected stuff that I would normally eat anyway, a peanut butter sandwich with jelly. I would have had maybe a little bit more olive oil on my greens. I would have had...
So extra calories that you didn't need.
Absolutely.
That's what you're saying.
Whereas a strict diet would be something like asparagus and grilled chicken, or I would have my sweet potatoes. I'd probably convert that. Now I'd use white potatoes instead.
Really?
Pack those in.
All the time?
I would do it in increments for each meal, but I would do it for 3-4 days straight to give me that carb load I needed instead of powering through the sodium carb load I was doing.
Oh, I see what you did.
It had an effect, but I will say I've tried both. After my show recently, I had done 3-4 days off of my diet and incorporating those carbs and calories. I looked the same after my show.
So,
but then with the pizza, I looked different after my show. You see?
I see. So when you carb loaded with the white potatoes, did you ever carb deload and go down to sweet potato? Or did you stay white and starchy the whole ride?
I stayed white and starchy the whole time.
Good for you.
I learned that from you, but I didn't know I was doing it correctly then. It was more of a trial and error experiment.
Yeah, well, the way I do it is I have the white potato post-workout. I don't really have it before. And there's a lot to be said about the glycemic index. That's the rate or the measure of how quick your body absorbs glucose. Mm-hmm. They say white foods, white bread, white pasta, shut up, white rice, things like that, they tend to aggravate your insulin levels and the sugar goes too quick to your body. Well, you feel that rush, but then you feel that fatigue. Why does that happen? Because there's no fiber in things that are white. Did you know that?
No.
The sugar cane. Well, you remember when they had the sugar cane back in the day? Remember that, Mark? It was meant to have nutrients in there. Did you know that?
I did know that,
You know what kind of nutrients? Chromium. That's a mineral that's essential for metabolizing sugar. They bleached the shit out of that thing and they stripped all the minerals out of it and they packaged it into something. Goes, here you go, Johnny. How many will you take with your coffee? It's toxic.
That's coming full circle to the point where it's why can't we live in a society where we don't do that? I know it's consumerism. I know it's, but I feel like we're being deceived.
I have no control over that, pal. I just know how to move around it.
How do you move around it?
Like I've been doing all my life around things that don't make sense to me. So how do I move around that? I have more naturally occurring sugar from fruit. I'm not going to lie. I have sugar in my coffee every morning. But usually it's from the oat milk creamers. Tastes just as good, man, as regular sugar.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
But I have
You have to deviate your plan.
Yeah, I have a lot of fruit. I want to clear something up, though, with the white potato.
Yeah.
Because I was going somewhere with that. So the white potato, when it's white and refined, it's been stripped of minerals, but it's still a starch. So it still has impact on your insulin levels. You're still going to secrete insulin from your pancreas. They're still going to have an effect on your mood, right? So wouldn't it make sense that if you're going to have the most amount of insulin secreted from your pancreas from a white food, to have it after the workout, when your body's having amino acids, minerals, vitamins, in conjunction with the white potato, it'll push everything into the muscle through the highway. Remember we spoke about that?
Yes.
What about pre-workout? That might not work out so well.
Well, pre-workout, you've always told me that...
keep it something brown.
Yeah, which has really helped me too, is that you go into having your proteins early in the morning and you have your fats, because you're going to expel those. And you're going to need something that's going to be a little bit more... you're going to need something for longevity to burn, like the brown carbs.
Well, something with brown, yeah, it has more fiber in there. It's got more B vitamins too. So it allows you, you're still going to secrete insulin, still a carbohydrate, like a sweet potato, but it's not going to require or demand the same amount of insulin. It might be less. So you won't have a peak and you won't have a drop. It's more like a steady flow of energy. That's why people eat a lot of sweet foods, like sweet potato, not sweet foods, sweet potato versus baked potato. You'll hear people doing brown rice versus white rice. I tried that method, and I do feel a difference in energy.
Me too. Do you feel it's better?
I feel it's way better.
With the white or brown?
Depends. I feel it's better with the white. Afterwards, I feel more fuller because it's done its job with all that excess insulin.
Yeah.
Okay? But before, the goal is to be driven into the gym, not to be tired. I could be tired afterwards.
Mm.
The goal is done. I trained. But then sometimes I got clients, I might have another brown afterwards just to bring me up.
I've
see how it's, everything's timing. Yeah,
as you're saying this, I'm literally visualizing my day and how those things, incorporating them, has changed my workouts and how I feel. The thing that had always given me energy in the morning, and I don't do it often, but if I have a steak and eggs and then I go to the gym after about an hour, I feel amazing. I feel like I have an intense amount of endless energy.
It's all that fat.
That's where it's coming from.
The body was intended to run on that. That was the primary source of fuel back in the days, right?
Right, right.
You know what else I do? It's interesting. Since I started doing electrolytes, like replacement after my workout, I feel so much better. I take watermelon, half a watermelon. I put in a blender with vanilla protein, a banana. I blend that up, and some pineapple too. Pineapple breaks down protein, by the way. What a shake. And I feel so much better.
And that's the first thing you have after your workout.
I feel
then
better.
You put in the protein.
I feel better because of the minerals. Your muscles are mostly water. It's like 17% protein, I think it is. Some low, stupid number like that.
Man, all these tips, I pick apart your brain so much, because as I'm a viewer at this point too, because I'm learning so much, and it's making me gain. Training gain. It's making me actually gain a lot of knowledge from this.
Well, I'm lending you some too. I have enough to lend.
Yeah, no, you have a plethora to lend. That's why it's so engaging to talk with you about this.
And I'm always willing to learn more too. So imagine that. Well, it's like opening up a door and things come falling on your friggin' head.
Yeah. I mean, you're an advocate for stuff like this. You study about it and research this kind of stuff on daily without fail.
It's what drives me. It's like my children.
Well said, man. This was a great conversation talking to you about this even in the beginning. But just to sum it up, what would you say to just the general public about different ads that come their way, or different ways society wants you to eat because of what's presented in front of you? But what would you tell them as far as structuring something for yourself? Is it knowing yourself first? Is that the key? Knowing your body first?
It's part of it. Study ingredients. Go in the back of a can of soup, a box of macaroni and cheese, whatever you want to do. Look at the ingredients, Google them, see what they do. If they're man-made, stay away from them. If they're natural, consume more. And when you think you know what you're eating, if you say, okay, this is not that good, what is that stuff? MSG? Yeah, we'll put that to the side. What's this? Cayenne? Oh, wow. Cayenne. That excites heat. Metabolism. I'll have some of that.
Well, a lot of the food coloring and stuff that's in stuff.
Some of that you can't avoid, right? But if you see things like partially hydrogenated oil, high fructose corn syrup, all shit like that, just avoid it. And what you think that you establish is good for you, try it. Doesn't work for you. make a change. Just keep coming forward, man. Don't backpedal.
And always learn from that too. That's what you're saying. Just keep learning, be a receptacle for that, be open to it, and do a little bit of research.
Dude, sometimes it's hard for me to answer some of these questions, only some. Because I look at it on how my life was structured. I was always in front of a person who knew more than me. Can you imagine that? And it's spilling things in my brain all day long. Countering me, debating with me. And I was able to debate back too. But just imagine what I was able to store. So not many people are exposed to that. It's kind of hard to answer that.
That's why it was cool to see different responses, because I came from that world where I had people that didn't know the answers.
Right. But being an older guy now and storing all that knowledge and possessing it, and also mixing that in with some wisdom and humility from being older, you kind of know how to paint a picture to a younger person to make them understand. Because you know what you should have been portrayed to make you understand.
Yes.
Not many people could do that. They don't want to give that away to somebody. They hold on to it like really dear, like it's something to them. And it should be. It might have been what built their body. But again, we're social creatures. We're meant to help one another. That's what we should be doing. And when I'm helping you, you're helping me. Cool. Now you're better. I got to see you at some point in the gym. You're doing 10 pull-ups. I'm only doing 9. I'm going to do 12 now, motherfucker.
I love that challenge that you always give, because it's like you've given me all this knowledge, and I've now gotten that because I hadn't gotten it at a younger age.
You know, when I go into the gym, the first thing I do, I don't look at no one. I run right to the pull-up bar.
Well,
and
the pull-ups
I jump
are the
up
best.
On there like Donkey Kong. I start doing 50, 60 pull-ups, and I know they see that. And I'm not doing it just for that. I'm doing it for me, but I'm doing it because I want to also encourage people.
Yeah, those movements are always the best. I like to start with them, and now from you, I like to end with them as well.
I do them before legs, too.
Wow.
You know why?
Tell me why.
It opens up your thoracic spine when you do pull-ups. Your thoracic spine.
I can see that opening with the movement like that.
Yeah.
I can grasp that.
It's part by your mid-trap, your thoracic spine. But when you squat, some people put the bar on their back like this and they...
Ooh, I've seen things.
If they're very frozen back there, they're like this. If it's open, the bar could sit on their mid-trap and they could squat better. They don't look at these things. Oh, that's back. I'm doing legs. No, everything is like kind of connected. We're talking about anatomy here. We're not talking about bro knowledge, legs on the third day and then a day off. You got to say, what is legs?
Why is that day off? That's what they don't question. I feel like it's a systematic thing of you got to do this and this and this. And of course you take a day off, but you ask them why. And a lot of them won't know the answer to why. Like, well, because you're tired, bro.
A lot of people do legs, and when they walk into the gym, they don't even do some kind of cueing. You know what cueing is?
Cueing. You're prepping the motion to get ready for something?
You're cueing. You're prepping the muscle for destruction. You can't just go in there and doing extensions and squats.
Yes, I agree with that.
There's floor work you should be doing.
The glute ham raise really helped me. I do that before the squat. It's helped the squat immensely.
You could do that. Dynamic movement, resistance bands. Hip thrusters, moving laterally. You should be warming up, moving all ways of the whole kinetic chain.
Well, just to say that people don't know John, I would come in and see this guy, and he'd have a whole routine on artificial grass. And I would see him there just doing all these different types of movements. And so I started training with you, incorporating those movements. And I went, wow, now we're ready to go. But my body was already feeling sore from those different movements I had never done before. But you know what? I tell you something. I was primed and ready. It's like I gave the car gasoline.
Felt different, right?
Felt incredible.
Right.
Well, but something happens with me too, is if I hit a pain barrier, I take it as a challenge where I don't recess. I now want to conquer it.
Absolutely. That's all up here.
Always. Always.
It was great, man. I love this episode. Very deep.
Yeah, this was fun. This was a lot of fun. I mean, topic content usually comes up different things, and sometimes we stray off, but try to come back to the same points. But this was a good one.
I got to know something more about John, too.
Me too. I learned a ton about you.
I'll ask you that after. Upon waking, you respond best to protein and fat.
Yes.
What does carbohydrate do for you?
I used to have the carbohydrate always waking up, and I noticed that I felt way more sluggish. I felt like I couldn't wake up properly, if that makes sense. My mind wouldn't click on.
I heard. Quick enough. Yeah,
does that make sense?
It does. But to add to that, I heard something I wish I could elaborate a little better on, but I'm going to put everyone on the right road. Maybe we could all work on this together, okay? When you sleep at night during a REM sleep, your body's actually got a high growth hormone level naturally up until about 11, 12 o'clock. So when the person told me this, I said, where'd you get that number from? Did you have an experience? No, they looked in the endocrinology book about when testosterone's naturally high in the body, when it's best to train, optimal times to train, early in the morning, right? Between 6 and 8, high testosterone, by the way. Growth hormone was very high up until 12. When people, 12 p.m., afternoon. When people wake up and they're having maybe potatoes with eggs or cereal, any kind of carbohydrate, that secretes something in the brain called acetylcholine. Look this up. Challenge me. And what it does is it blunts growth hormone levels. So it stops the way your body burns fat. Again, the key word is optimal, right? To work optimally, you still burn fat, but we want to be optimal. So a lot of people, they're pretty much turning to the high protein, high fat up until 11 or 12. Then little by little, they're introducing carbohydrates because carbohydrates also mimic insulin levels. When you play with insulin, you're playing with mood. And when people are tired, they associate that with, I need more food. But you're also playing with insulin again and again and again. Well, you understand?
This it blew my mind as I was listening to you because it makes so much sense to me from doing both sides of the coin. Because I was always an advocate of, well, it's different, I guess. If you're trying to introduce weight loss, I would always advocate for people to eat the majority of their carbohydrates before noon if they're trying to lose weight. And then the rest of the time, they now trickle in a lot of the vegetables.
Well, you're talking about a marathon runner now or a boxer, a fighter?
That's what I'm saying.
Just, that all changes
right,
now.
Right, right, right.
That all changes.
That makes sense.
Because they need sustenance to run on the next day. These runners are consuming like boatloads of pasta, I think it is.
Yeah, it's tons of, I mean, they burn what, like 8,000 calories, maybe more per day?
We're talking about physique, body.
Yeah.
You want to optimize the way you look? It starts in the kitchen. I hate that stupid thing. It starts in the kitchen. Well, it's true. It does. So you see my refrigerator, it's wacky. There's so many different things in there.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff in there.
There really is, because it's all about timing. I could still have watermelon. I could still have pineapple. I could even have mango. But it's when you put it in your body. You understand?
Yeah.
You just eat it because you say, oh, I'm having mango. It's a good source of magnesium. But you don't move all day? Where are those calories going?
That's the one thing I learned in when I was studying a lot of the biology was I started experimenting on the timing of things. And that changed everything. The timing of when to have certain things. And that continued on for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But it's all about that timing of when to have the right foods that will maximize that either weight loss or weight growth in muscle form.
Smart. It's helped me tremendously.
Same here.
I'm trying to help you too.
Well, hey, I think you've provided a lot of information for this, and hopefully you guys can take something from it. That's going to close our episode out for today. And we are on number 18, so we're rising up the ranks with this. This has been a lot of fun, man.
My man.
My brother.
Always have fun with this.
Training Gain Podcast. Follow us on YouTube, comment, subscribe, like us. We have Spotify, Apple Podcast. And I'm going to close myself out. Instagram, John_Kioskarigis.
Unique_physique23. Guys, I'll see you tomorrow. Great episode.
Bye, everyone.